Good evening. Thank you so much for being here tonight. It is truly a privilege and an honor to have the opportunity to speak before you here tonight. And I thank you so much for giving me that opportunity. We have a good crowd tonight, and I'd ask you to remember Ed in your prayers. It's very weird that he's not here. He usually beats me before I get here. So he must be wanting to watch Bad Bunny. So you know that's a joke. But let's remember Ed in your prayers, and let's remember all the ones that Harold mentioned in our prayers here tonight. And Tuesday, I had a pretty interesting evening. I had a basketball game I officiated, and when I went home, I wanted to get something to eat, so I stopped at a restaurant, and they had trivia night, and I thought it was pretty smart, but it turned out I'm very, very dumb. And the only question, this is the weird thing, the only question I got right out of trivia night was one on alcohol. Go figure. But anyways, after I got done with that, I went home and talked a little bit to Carter, and I get a message from Chuck. And it says, Jay, would you go please go to Amber? She's at the hospital. Caleb's there too. They had emergency surgery. And would you come there that night? And I think the only reason I would do it is if Chuck would change the picture on the video Sunday night. Because if you guys saw the picture of the video on Sunday, I looked awful. You watch, it'll show that tonight now. But I always found it a privilege when somebody said, hey, could you go do this? Doesn't matter the time. Be able to do it. And Carter's like, yeah, oh, Dad's doing the preacher thing tonight. I was like, no, it's the Jay thing. I wanted to do this tonight. And I do thank you for giving me the opportunity just to spend a little bit of time. I told her those jokes and she laughed. So about the trivia. So, but, you know, it was great to be able to spend time with her and Denise for a little bit. And I apologize I didn't get an opportunity to cross paths with you. But it's just those things that mean a lot to individuals. And if you have that moment, don't miss out on the opportunity to do that, because there's some great things that happen that you may miss out if you don't take the opportunity. So I thank you, Chuck, for doing that. And I was serious about trying to change that picture, if you would. So because it does. It looks awful. I know it's not your fault. That just happens, and I don't know why YouTube decided to do that. But anyways, let's get into our message here tonight. And I just want to be very clear before we get this message started. This message is called A Few Things Before I Go. And the reason why I titled that is not because I'm not dying. There's nothing wrong with me. I am perfectly fine. I'm not giving up preaching either. I'm not stopping here or anywhere else. I am very content on what I do. I like doing what I do. And I thought about when I put that statement up, I was like, people thought I'm either going to be very sick or I'm going to stop preaching. And that's not neither the case. Because if you heard what Mr. Cohen read there, or you followed along on what Mr. Cohen read there, Paul is trying to get some things out because, for one, there's not really certainty that Apostle Paul will ever write again, let alone be alive. He went through some challenges, if you recall, in the book of Acts. And you must understand that if there was things that Paul really wanted to say to Thessalonica, he had an opportunity to say things to Thessalonica again. He continued to live for a few years after he writes this letter. But there was things that he really wanted to tell the brethren of Thessalonica if this was his only opportunity to say something to them. And that's kind of my plea for you here this evening, is to be able to just say a few things. Lord willing, I'll be back again in 2 weeks. Lord willing, you know, I'll be healthy as well. And you know, it's just Paul finds an urgency to say things because it was necessary to say. Not with his circumstances, but what was necessary to be told here. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight. The necessity to talk about things that are very important, and not only for you to hear, but maybe for others to hear as well. And I would encourage you to kind of follow along and look at some of the things that we need to talk about here tonight. One of the things that I would encourage you to be like is be pure before God. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you see that the Apostle Paul is talking about a variety of things that they need to be working on. And Paul talks about the importance to work on these things. And the one that has the capability to do this is them. They have the opportunities to do these things. They're able to know their strengths and weaknesses. They have the ability to control what they will do, whether there is good things happening or whether there are bad things happening. But they have control and they have the ability to decide what to do and realize that when it comes to those opportunities, make no mistake that it takes work to do those things. Tracy and I, we sat down last night. We used to be, when we were younger, we used to watch the Olympics all the time. And we talked about that last night. And one of the individuals I thought about during the Winter Olympics is Lindsey Vonn. Lindsey Vonn's 41 years old. And if you've been following along in the story this week, Lindsey Vonn also has a ruptured Achilles. And if anybody's ever followed in basketball, you know that if you take the opportunity to go out there and try to do some kind of athletic thing on a ruptured Achilles, you're not only at risk at getting injured and ruining any opportunity that you have of getting anything that year, but you also risk on missing out on having any opportunity to do anything next year. And she has this opportunity to win gold. And if she has something really bad happen to her, she's not only missed out on this year, but she's probably missed out on any opportunity to have a reviving career at her age. It's just not very likely. And the reason why I bring this up is this. If you've been following along on that, you see the diet regimen she has. You see the things that she does in order to prevent any kind of injury for that. And we say to ourselves, how impressive is it to see someone at her age, someone with her capabilities, to do the things that she is going to do? And that's why the Apostle Paul uses those examples of athletes in Scripture. Because he sees what it takes to do these things. They're watching what they do with their body. They keep in control of that body. But not only keeping in control of their body, but also keeping in control of your mind. That's what a child of God needs to worry about. Not only control the things it has with this physical body, but also control the things of the mind and of the spirit and of the thoughts. And we have this opportunity to control these things. And Paul is telling us here to keep that under control. And Paul says, because what he does, he works on that, and it's not only for the betterment of himself, but it's also for the betterment of everyone who's around him. He's disciplined. He watches what he does, and he keeps that in his spirit. He keeps it strong, and he keeps it motivated. Now, when you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, purified your souls by your obedience to truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly with a pure heart. If you look at the Greek in verse 22, you see it's not about this romantic love. It's not even about this warmth love. It is about an intensity love. And what I mean by that is whatever it takes to show this affection to one another, whether they are the enemy or whether they are the friend, whether they are doing all the things right or they're not doing anything right, whether they're a novice or whether they're mature in their faith. I've been trying to get rid of pictures and videos off my phone, but my phone told me I have too much stuff on my phone. And one of the things that I saw lately was a picture of Lydia with, someone's going to help me. Who's that lady that you bring with you? Wilma. I have a picture of Lydia sitting there with Wilma after services. It's one of my favorite pics, actually, because it shows this relationship that you can have with people. They don't have to be your same age, and they don't have to have the same common interest. It's one of my favorite pics. And I remember texting Dwight, and I remember asking him, I said, I'm not here next week. I said, when are you going to be home again in the evening? He told me. I said, can I come over on this day? He said, sure, Uncle Jay, you can come over and play with the kids. And I get that from the Pragers as well. But you know, it's the thing I keep kind of reiterating time and time again, is the importance of trying to show that intense love. And what I mean by that is not like go full bore and bear hug them every time you see them. Just give them their time. Give them their moments. Spend time with them like Caleb. Spend time with them like Rylan. And spend time with them like Solomon. And, you know, that's another thing I talked about with a friend of mine too. I talked about the last time I stayed over to your house, I was ready to go to bed at midnight. But somebody wanted to cheat at Battleship at 1 o'clock in the morning. I won't mention any names, Lydia, but that was another cool thing that we did because it was always about the boys, but that night it was me, Lydia, Addison, and Ken. And you know, I bring these examples up just because we can have these great moments. And we think it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort, and it doesn't. It doesn't even really take a lot of money. But you know, there's where we have this intense love, where we can do these things. And that's what the apostle, or that's what Peter's trying to show us here. And this opportunity to have this purity, we can have this opportunity to be pure before God, just showing this intense love. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23 reminds us about how we should keep our heart with all vigilance. And from now it flows the springs of life, that we focus on these things and we keep the bad things out, to get rid of the deceitfulness and the corrupt talk, to get rid of the impure things, to keep the eyes pure and free from lust and focus on the things straight ahead. I have a young man down home that he feels that in order to have anybody's attention, he has to lie excessively. He feels that in order to try to get any kind of friendship whatsoever, he has to do that. And I was like that. I was like that where I felt like I had to exaggerate everything. And I had to tell everybody about something astronomical lie in order to try to get somebody just to show a little bit of attention to me. And the funny thing I come to find out is if you try to be honest, keep yourself free from sin, you'd be surprised of what that could do for you because there's trust involved in that. And that's why you see that if I make a plea here tonight, that I plead for you to be pure before God. I also, too, want you to put this trust in the Lord as well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it tells us, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. When I started to do a study on this particular scripture, one of the historians that I followed along here brought this little story up about this little boy that would not sit down during class. He just kept standing up and kept standing up, and the teacher kept telling him over and over again, sit down, sit down, sit down. And the teacher got so tired of it, he told that boy one time, he goes, listen, if you don't sit down, I'm going to send you to the principal's office. Well, the thing clicks in his mind. If I go to the principal's office, then the principal's going to tell my dad. Then my dad finds out, my dad's going to be mad. So he sits down. And the teacher commends him for sitting down, but the kid says this. On the outside, I'm sitting down. On the inside, I'm standing up. The point of the story is the boy was compliant, but he was not submissive. The tragedy we see so many times in Christianity is just that. We are compliant. We're not submissive. We're not willing to trust in God. We're willing to follow rules as long as the rules don't affect us that much. Or God is willing to give me the benefits that I want from his work. I don't have trust in him. I have trust what he wants to give me. You know, the reason why I put Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 up here is because there is that mindset again. That if I have my trust in Christ, everything that I want, I'll get. And that's not what that passage is about. That passage is about because I have trust in him. I have learned, as Paul tells us in chapter 4, I've learned to be content. Whether I have everything or I have nothing, where I have everything I want or I have nothing that I've ever prayed for. Whether I'm rich or I'm poor, whatever situation I'm in, good or bad, it's all right because Christ is with me and I trust in him no matter what the circumstances is. And the thing is that we don't carry that attitude that we want to submit to him because we have this trust in him. We're willing to submit to him because if I follow the rules, then nothing bad will happen to me. And think about how many times people have followed the rules and something bad has happened to them. And they say to themselves, well, because I followed the rules and he does this to me, I don't want to follow him anymore. We've heard that a lot. We've heard sad stories of individuals that something bad has happened to their life. And who do they blame? They blame God for that. But they don't trust in him that things will get better. Even if nothing in this world ever gets better, there is something that will be good at the end. Trust in the Lord. And that leads to my next point, where we should have this fear of the Lord. You know, we go to Psalm 23, and I know we miss out. I apologize here. We go to Psalm 23, and we know that it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then when we go to the next few verses here, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One of the biggest debates that I've found in my little study on this particular psalm is they debate on when he writes this. And one of them says because it talks about the shepherd, it talks about the pastures, it must be during a time when he is this young man. And he talks about, you know, with the perils that he goes through as this shepherd. He has no fear because God is with him. And some believe that he is reminiscent about the time he was in as a king. And he's reminiscent about the times that he has went through perils as a shepherd. And it's no different. Even it's more dangerous, in my opinion, that he is a king in Israel than he ever was as a shepherd. And some people believe that because he is at this king and there's always perils, it seems like, during his kingdom, that he's writing about it during this time. But the thing is, I want us to point out here is what is said there in verse 6. You ever notice that if David is the author of this, what house of the Lord is he talking about? Because the temple's not built. That's going to be the responsibility of his son. Could it be that the reason he has no fear? Could it be because whether he is a king that is always fearful for his life or he is a shepherd that is fearful for his flock, it doesn't matter because he has a place that he can call home. And it does not have to be in Jerusalem. He's got a place where he can be. And it's not of this world. I've told this story all day today, and this will be the only day I ever speak of this. And it's because it brings a point to this. When I was a young man, I lived in an apartment in New Martinsville. And I was living with a friend, and my friend had some health issues. And he ended up that he just couldn't afford to live there anymore. He had to move back. I think it was in Parkersburg. And I couldn't afford it on my own. So I had to find a place to live. And I thought at the time that I could go back and live with my mom. I remember going that night with my girlfriend. It's funny because this is so long ago. Tracy wasn't even my girlfriend at the time. I went there with my stuff, hoping that I could stay the night at that house. My mom had a boyfriend at the time. And even more bothersome about this, he was a member of the church. And I asked her, I said, can I stay here tonight? She said no. Here's the reason why I bring this up. I don't want pity. Because we all say within ourselves with this story, that's not my kid that will ever have to be told no. Not my kid, not my grandkid, not even my great-grandkid. We would not deny an opportunity to be in the house. The thing is that our Lord has a place prepared for us. And the thing is, he's telling you, come on in. You know, I've told you many stories about many individuals that have been so welcoming to me, to my family, that there has been times where I've never even had to knock on the door. It's been a very, I don't know if you ever remember Carol Landis at Tyler County, but when I would go to her house, she just told me, come on in. Didn't have to knock. She had the screen door. It was a glass door. She saw people come in. It was just, come on in. And here's a little side note on that, too. She lived right next to Ken Barker. And here's a side note on that, too. I would see her granddaughter after I started preaching at Westside in Clarksburg, because it was at Elk Fork. I was stopping there and seeing her. And I remember her telling me, she said, do you know that on Sunday nights, because I would stop after church on Sunday nights, she says, do you know that she would stay in her bathroom or her bedroom robe or bedrobe, whatever you want to call it, she would stay in that thing until she knew that I wasn't going to stop. And when I stopped, it was just, come on in. My point is, my Lord, your God, my God, gives you that opportunity. You know, it's really tragic when you look at Ezekiel and you see Ezekiel give this visualization of these animals on these spears. All powerful, can go wherever they want to go. This majestic beings has always been there for Israel. And because that they don't want them, they don't want God, they don't want to have him there, they don't want to be there with his blessings and his gifts, they said, no, we want to be with the culture. We want to do everything the Babylonians are doing. We want to do everything the Persians are doing. We want to do everything the Assyrians and the Egyptians are doing. We want to do these things. We don't want God. We want this. And God says, you know what? Fine. There you go. And these all-powerful beings that Ezekiel talks about says, we're leaving. I've always said, brethren, you're never truly alone when you have God. The only time that you are really alone is when God is no longer on your side. That's tragic. And that happened to Israel. That happened to the northern kingdom. That happened to the southern kingdom. That happened to Jerusalem. That happened to Judah. And they have no one to blame but themselves. And when you don't have God, that's when you should be very, 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 very afraid. It's not about this punishment or this wrath that God's coming upon you. No, it's not when you don't have his protection and you don't have his house and you don't have his blessings and you don't have his opportunities to be a part with him. The sad, fearful thing is when we don't have him anymore. That's the fear of the Lord. Then finally, I would encourage you to seek his wisdom. Tracy and I used to watch things until I got a little bit obsessed with YouTube with sovereign citizens in court. And there was this one scenario where this guy, it's a court in Michigan, and maybe you've seen it if you've been do the same things I do. But there's this one court hearing where this judge and the defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney is there, but the defendant is on a Zoom call. And when he gets on the Zoom call with the judge, he's driving. And he says, "Hold on, judge, I'm just putting this in the park right now. I have a doctor's appointment. I had to drive to it." Do you know what he went to court for? Driving on a suspended license. And the judge just looks at the attorneys and is like, and he tells them, he goes, "Just wait a minute." And about 30 seconds later, he says, "I need you to be here at 6 o'clock. Your bond has just been revoked." And you just see this kind of deer in the headlights look from this guy. But here's the more interesting story. He comes to court, and the judge has a discussion with him. And he says, "Here's the thing that bothers me, because afterwards, the news got a hold of it. And one of the things it seems like that this guy had an issue with, he goes, I can't believe he put me in jail because I drove myself to the doctor's office." But here's what he says to him. Trust me, it's getting to my point here. He says, "Do you remember what you was doing? I think it was the 28th of December in 2023. He didn't remember. He says, "You were at the courthouse getting your ID." And he says, "Here's another thing I've learned about you. You do this religiously every year. You renew your ID." Here's the kicker. You know what else you can do there when you get your ID? You can get your driver's license. Here's my point. Brethren, when it comes to our wisdom, do you think it's really hard for us to attain this? Especially when God says, ask for it. I can guarantee if there's an individual in this audience here tonight, and they would tell somebody, "I don't have a Bible," I promise you, you would not leave this building tonight without one. And if you can't understand it, there is all kinds of individuals that have worked their darnest, and I know some people have not done very well with it either, but there's been individuals that have taken that Greek and that Hebrew and that Aramaic and tried to put it in a language that someone can understand. And if you don't like listening to me, maybe you don't like my sermons, maybe you don't like the preaching, you know what, that's fine. The thing is, there's a lot of guys that you can go on social media. You can go on Facebook. You can go on YouTube. You can go on Instagram. You can go on a variety of social media platforms and find a guy you like. You're going to have a guy that you should like here in the next couple weeks. And if you don't, what's wrong with you? No, I'm just kidding. But my point is, brethren, this wisdom is accessible. But the thing is, we're just like this guy that has been able to do everything under the sun when it comes to this wisdom, but not be willing to obtain it. And sadly, sometimes we see it on social media where somebody will take one particular passage and they'll slap it on there and say, this is the basis of my position on certain things. They'll use it for a position. They'll use it on how to justify the things that they do in life, but they won't use it when it comes to being closer to God. They won't use it when it comes to being closer to one another. They just use it for a political point. They just use it for some kind of stance. They use it for whatever reason, but they don't use it to seek God. And God tells us here, he goes, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline to your heart understanding. I talked to one individual today. I said, you know what made you a great elder? Is because you wanted to understand. I might have told this story. There was this time we had to go see this girl, and we had to go talk to her. I might have said it last week. But we were supposed to talk to this girl, and he was an elder at the time, and before we left, he told us this. He goes, listen, Jay, he says, I just want to understand why she did what she did. Not, hey, you were wrong on this. Hey, you need to do the right thing here. No, I want to know why you thought you could do this. Why you had to do this. What led you to do this? Many times, brethren, we see a lot of people in error, but we never take the initiative to understand what got you from here to here. What got you to being so great to hitting rock bottom? That's what I want to understand. If I can't understand why you went this pattern, then it's going to be really hard to try to get you back to where you need to be. Try to get understanding. Yes, verse 3, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and you search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. May I encourage you to seek out wisdom. And this comes to my last point tonight. What am I talking about tonight, guys? If you had a guess on the picture, what is the core? The lions. Who was in the lions? Core, I can't believe you're being shy in front of me now. Very good. You know, one of the interesting things that we find in the book of Daniel, and I've been studying Daniel, of course. I'm getting ready to do Hosea. As we read about two very interesting stories in there. We read about Daniel and the lions, and then we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we tell our children, and we remember these stories about how individuals at the particular time were willing to stand up against things that was against their beliefs. And it doesn't really start in chapter 6. It doesn't even start in chapter 3. It starts in chapter 1 when they were supposed to eat certain foods that the Babylonians were eating. But you know what the interesting chapter is in the book of Daniel is chapter 12. And it talks about the end of time. And just like Psalm chapter 23, Daniel chapter 12 has a couple of debates in it as well. If you look at a couple of verses in Daniel chapter 12, and I'm just going to read verses 2, 3, and 4. It says, there are many who are dead and buried, and some of them will wake up and live forever. He says, but others will wake up to shame and disgrace forever. It says, the wise people will shine as bright as the sky. And those who teach others to live right will shine like stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, keep this message as a secret. You must close the book and keep it a secret until the time of the end. And many people will go there, and they are looking for true knowledge. And true knowledge will increase. Now, the big debate about this chapter is who's going to receive this. Because if you go under Judaism, they would say, well, they received it before Christ even came on earth. Because there were wicked rulers. And those wicked rulers were succumbed. And those wicked rulers were no longer there. Some believe that it's talking about Christ. It's talking about when Christ comes here on earth and he establishes his kingdom, and then his kingdom is still here even to this day. And many dynasties have passed since then. Some believe that it's when he comes again. And believe that when this comes, it's finality of everything. And the only king will be our Lord. The only ruler will be our Savior. So which one's right? You ever... You ever get annoyed with an individual when you ask him a question and you give him some options, like, was this individual right or was he wrong? And they respond with this: yes. Did he or did he not do it? Yes. It's a little bit irritating because in the society that we are in today, we want absolutes. We want a definite answer. But Daniel chapter 12 is a definite answer. It's a yes. Well, which one is it, Jay? Well, you have to ask the right question, first off. And the question is not when. The question is what. It's not, does this apply to the Jews in northern Israel? It's not to the Jews that are following Christ. It is even not to the Christians that continue to follow him after his resurrection. It's all the above. The reason why I ask about using 1 Thessalonians here tonight, because that was kind of a struggle with them too. When will the Lord come? When will his kingdom be established? The questions arise. And the emphasis is same at the time of Daniel as it is in the time of Thessalonica. It doesn't matter when. It matters, what are you doing now? What are you doing to prepare for that kingdom to come? What are you doing to prepare for his appearing? Are you ready for it? Do you long for it? Or, as we're mindful in some of our previous passages, are we focused on just the things of this world? Peter struggled with that. And Jesus reminds him in Matthew chapter 16, get away, Satan, because you're about the wrong thing here. In order for Christ, in order for us to have this death, burial, and resurrection, Christ had to have a death, a burial, and a resurrection. If he does not do that, we don't get it either. And we have an opportunity tonight to help us get closer to that death, burial, and resurrection. And it starts first off with baptism. Because remember what Paul tells us. He says, do you realize when you were buried in Christ at baptism, you were buried in his death? And maybe there's someone here tonight that has not taken that next step. That opportunity is available for you here tonight. If you need to repent of sin, and brethren, it was a plea in the Old Testament, it is also a plea in the New Testament, it is also a plea now to change. If you need to take that next step, if you need to do this, it's available for you here tonight. If you need to pray about something, as we pray about the individuals who are not able to be with us tonight, as we pray for their health issues, remember, brethren, there is the things that we need to work on, the physical, there's also things we need to work on, the spiritual. And why not use this opportunity right now to pray? We have that availability tonight. So if you need to respond, may I encourage you to do so now, while we stand, while we sing.